Welcome to another episode of the Microsoft Spotlight Podcast. Again, this is the third one I'm doing today, and I'm still having technical issues. I've come back this evening, and my internet's not working. I've had to play around with cables and do whatever else, but I'm here with our guest this evening to talk all about women in tech. So, Harpreet Kaur, do you want to introduce yourself to my listeners?
Yeah, so first of all, thank you so much, Andrew, for having me and then spotlighting me on this. I'm Harpreet Kaur. I am in the tech industry for almost two decades, I started as a software engineer, and here I am as a product leader at Microsoft. It's been an interesting journey. And then I also say that I have a multidimensional career. So yes, I am a tech leader at Microsoft, but I am also a mom. I'm also a wife. I'm also a keynote speaker, a leadership and a career coach. And I have a side hustle through which I do it, which is called Y Blend In. And then if I find any time left over, I do abstract art. I love kind of put my whatever creative mindset I have left to in the art, and that helps me so much. So that's like literally a short bio of where of who I am as a person.
Awesome. I say nearly every single person from Microsoft in the States have always got a side hustle, so I'm not surprised that you've got one. I mean, everyone's like doing something. As I said, I've said this podcast many times, if you want shoes, well-being, medication, dresses, yeah, I can put you in touch with the right person at Microsoft so they can sell you some licensing and whatever else, and also then get it out.
Yeah, I think it's also, it comes with the culture as well, my own background, as well as even what our CEO says, to use Microsoft as a platform to bring your passions to life as well, right? So, you know, when you are working in an environment where you have the right boundaries and you have the right folks to push you forward, and it just brings the best out of you. And I will tell you, Andrew, that I keep adding more to it. And because I frankly feel like it's, you have to think about what's the legacy you are leaving behind. Tech industry is changing. Today I'm saying I am very happy where I am. Tomorrow we don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've both been working in the IT arena for about a similar amount of times. I started when I was 17, so I'm 38 now. So, yeah, 21 years of crawling under desks and doing whatever else I've been doing as well, sort of the level of architect. So we've seen that many changes in the ecosystem from Microsoft and just in IT in general. I say for most of my career has changed very so much. Nice. And looking at your career history as well, you've had kind of like a similar trajectory, but obviously, you know, you're now working at the old mothership, so a place that I'd like to go to sometime in the future. But I think at the moment I'm quite happy and settled at Fujitsu.
That's good to know. The being happy in where you are is the greatest gift you can give to yourself as well, right? And so that's great.
Yeah. So let's go back to the very beginning. So what kind of got you into IT? I mean, was it something at school that kind of drove you into the world of getting into tech, or was it something else, like, you know, a family member?
It's an interesting question and great question. You know, I actually never wanted to be, I didn't even know about computers. I wanted to be a doctor because I frankly feel or always had that feeling that doctors can cure each and everything. And growing up, I always felt like I'm an anomaly. And so, you know, be it, you know, the look wise, be it trying to fit in the society, be it I'm a girl child. Because in India, growing up in my times, it was like, you know, there are only few options. You become a doctor, you become an engineer, or you get married, or you're a failure and you get married, literally. And so I was like, okay, I'm not too good in kind of the math side. Okay, I will just become a doctor. I really loved the bio side of it. And then it wasn't until, you know, when I gave the entrance exams for the in my high school to get into a good medical school, I did not get to a point where I was able to get into a good one. And so I had to drop a year. And then by that time, my older brother was already doing, he had gone abroad to Australia and he was doing computers. And he said, you know what, if you have to come here, you know, that is a good site to start indulging in. And given I had an year in between, my dad just enrolled me in computer classes and I started loving it. And I'm like, you know what? Let's not do being a doctor. It didn't give me the fruits I wanted. Let me just start doing that. So mine was unconventional. Like, I never thought I would be a computer engineer. And that's when I kind of went into computers. I did my bachelor's, I did my post diplomas as well, and then I did my master's in computers. And that's kind of the winding road I took, and a long one. But I frankly feel like looking back, I wouldn't change a thing. You know, when I dropped out of the high school and had a year in between to figure out what I wanted to do, I literally felt I was a failure. Like, all these years in middle school and high school, I was telling everyone, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a doctor, and it's going to help me to be who I am, being my authentic self, and, you know, help cure the world or whatever. And here I am, just a failure. And that time, no one knew. Like, literally, if I tell you that what I learned, MS-DOS and, you know, Oracle, old versions, SQL Server, old versions, no one even knows about those anymore. But it just felt that I could be creative writing those codes. And that's where, like, I literally, you know, after my master's, I started as a developer. And that's another winding road on how I became a developer and a software engineer. And then I moved into management and became a program manager, product manager, TPM, whatever you want to call it.
That's awesome. So, I mean, looking at your career history, I mean, you spent obviously 13 years at Microsoft. I mean, that's obviously some good going. So obviously you're originally from obviously India. What was the transition from moving, you know, from your native country to the America?
You know, that's so I started after my master's, and in between, a lot of things happened. I was in early 20s, literally, I think 21, 22, I got married to arranged marriage, never met a person, and it's going strong. 20 years, I'm still married to the same person.
That's really good.
Yeah. Right. And he was working for Tata Consultancy Services. And as I was doing my master's, when we got married, interesting change of things happened. And, you know, I started looking for a role for myself as well. And I got into multiple companies, big companies in India, Asia Pacific, and in management consulting. And Tata was one of it. And as a couple, we decided that I'll go for Tata, because that way, if we have to travel, we can kind of make sure we are traveling together. They will also see that they are a couple. They will probably keep it as at the same place. So we just thought that was a good way. So I actually started my career with Tata Consultancy Services as a software engineer. And through them, we actually moved to US. And so both me and my spouse moved to US on working visa, on H-1 visa, to North Carolina in US. And that was in 2006. And with as any immigrant story, right, with four bags, which included not only my clothes, my whole kitchen stuff, and a baby. I had a 5-month-old baby boy. And I moved to this new country to fulfill our American dreams. And we are here almost 20 years, like, it's been so long. My son, who was 6 months old, is going to be 18 this October. So it's been a journey of trying to figure out how to raise kids, how to, you know, work in the tech industry, grow in the tech industry as a woman of color, as a woman of faith, as a first generation. And it's so far, I would say there have been more pros. There have been a lot of cons as well, but a lot of pros as well. So it's been a hard journey, literally financially, adjusting in the new environment, language, and many more things. But I frankly, at the end of the day, I feel blessed and honored, to say the least, Andrew.
Oh, that's really cool. So, I mean, what was it like, obviously, being like a new mother, moving to a new country and having to do, you know, finding doctors and childcare and all kinds of schools? How did you find all that?
It was so hard. So I was still on maternity leave when we moved, and as you know, and finding a new apartment with like very little money, because a management consulting company is, not to say anything bad, I think they have changed in the last 20 years a lot. But the time we moved, we were getting really meager pay, right? One person just earning. And then I was on the leave, even though, yes, it was paid and like whatever, right? Finding a new apartment, trying to figure out all the vaccination, which is different between countries as well, finding a new doctor. So we had to rely on a lot of our, you know, my husband's friends who actually led us to be in their apartment. So we were probably like, you know, 8 or 9 people, many of them just bachelors, and we were the only couple and trying to figure out with a little one. So first few months were really hard. We didn't have a car. We would go grocery shopping. Someone would have to come pick us. We would walk miles with a baby in hand, right? Like it was brutal. But I think that's where I want to give, I want to share everything openly here and being candid. Those are the hardships that made us resilient and made us, you know, be okay with working hard. I will tell you, when my son was born in India, I was working till the last day. And when my little one, who is going to be 11, who is 11 now, I have a girl as well, who was born here. I worked till the end. And it's not that we don't have the opportunity to take a leave or anything. It was more like, what am I trying to show to my kids, that your mom is a hardworking woman as well, and you can do the same. At the same time, you know, the first 6-7 months were hard, but once we were able to find a daycare for the son and a one bedroom apartment of our own on rent and get an old car, we felt like we had kind of, you know, we had started balancing our life, and we'll go forward from here.
That's awesome. So obviously talking about that move to the United States, so what kind of led you to go into the world of obviously Microsoft? Because obviously that's the biggest IT company in the globe, who do a lot of good work, obviously supporting diversity, equality, inclusion, women in tech. So what kind of made you join that organization?
So when we moved to North Carolina and we were working for the client, and I think that's where, and we worked for still for Tata for a couple of years. And then we, as our son started growing, we were kind of, both of us being in tech, started looking at like, do we want to go back? Because that's like project based, right? Management consulting, they will say, okay, your project is finished. We will either find another on site within US, or you have to come back to your home country and keep traveling. Like, they may find another project in UK or in Singapore or wherever, right? And so, but we wanted to provide that balance and that you know, a little bit of comfort to our kid, who was started to grow up as well. And so that's when we started looking at, okay, we can, you know, start finding a permanent role here and who can also help us in our, you know, green card, American citizenship and all that, right? And so that's where, you know, we started looking at, and my husband first got an offer from Microsoft, and that made us the move from North Carolina to Seattle. And then I joined him and I was able to get into a consulting role. We both left Tata the same day, and then we moved to Seattle. He only had the offer, and I had a consulting offer. And so that's when we moved, and I kept doing consulting work for another company. And I used to drive, that's another story. I used to we only had a single car. And so he was taking the son to Microsoft and would drop him in between in the daycare, and I would travel south. He would come north and I would travel south 65 miles one way. So I was spending close to 3 hours, sometimes even more, in a day to and fro for my role. And I was taking a vanpool. A vanpool is like where, you know, government gives you a big car, and you know, and you can actually, it's more like public bus. So think about that. And, you know, I used to take that. And sometimes we used to figure out a timing plan that, hey, my bus will drop me this time, and can you make sure that you come and pick me? But sometimes he would be late or he would be stuck in traffic, and I would walk from the bus stop to our apartment, which was close to 3 miles, and I would walk in rain, in sunshine, in hot days, whatever that, and I would, right? From that day, like, then within, like, you know, I was still looking. I left that consulting job and then moved to Microsoft. I worked really hard, prepped really hard. And I will tell you, I got so many rejections before I got into Microsoft. So, you know, I frankly used to cry every day.
I mean, I'd be lying if I haven't tried to get into Microsoft in the past. And so I've been rejected a couple of times. And I think I did try once to get in, I think it was before COVID, and I felt ill with COVID and I couldn't actually then carry on the application. So it's like, yeah, I mean, probably it's a missed opportunity, but you know, I'm up for Jitsu. Life's good. I get paid. I get to do women in tech and talk about, you know, the subject that I've basically become a bit of a subject matter expert about, because that's all I basically love doing.
Yeah,
obviously through this podcast. So yeah, I mean, I gotta say, I do like Seattle. I mean, I've been over to Redmond when I came to like the MVP summit. That was Walsh.
Yeah,
2018, I think 2018. I was over there 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so yeah, it's, the campus is just an unreal place. And I've said it many times on this podcast. I mean, anyone that has the opportunity to go over to Redmond and spend, you know, however long there, just walking around campus and seeing what life's like, going into the company store and visit building 34.
It's beautiful.
It's different. It's a different world. I mean, I wish obviously, you know, there's more places like it, but yeah, there isn't. If you want, that life,
no, I will tell you, it's not like, as I'm telling the story and now as where I am, people think, oh, she's this, she's that, she's done. Like when you introduced me or I introduced as well, like later half, right? It feels like I have it all. But I will tell you, it's an everyday struggle to have it all. And I frankly feel like when, before Microsoft, 13 years back, when I got into it, before that, there were so many big companies, Fortune 500 companies, which rejected me. To name a few, Amazon, like I interviewed with Amazon a few times. I interviewed with Expedia, and one of the feedback I got from Expedia was that I'm not senior enough. One time they said they had, you know, you did amazing, but we have an internal candidate. Amazon, same thing, you know. But guess what? The day I joined, when I interviewed for Microsoft, I got into first time. So I will tell you, anytime you get rejected, yes, we all feel like, oh my God, my life is over. It's a hard, if I tell you it's easy, it's not. It's you get those feelings of sadness, madness, anger, why me, and all that. But take time to reflect back and what is that I can learn from it. I remember when I got that feedback of you're not senior enough, I looked back, whatever the interview, the responsibilities of Microsoft role, which I was looking for, it was a senior PM role. And I made sure that I knew it and I could do, I had examples for each and every one. And I said, I'm going to give my best and see what happens. Because now as a hiring manager, I've hired so many people, right? Like, and I help in interviewing as well, be it early in career, mid or seniors. There's a luck factor too. We are looking for, you don't know what's happening internally, right? We may already have internal candidates. We may have people who, we feel like can bring not only from the job, but can bring much more. So it's a lot of things which need to tick. So don't take it on yourself that you're not able to get it, you're not worth, or you're not enough, which is what I used to feel. It's the right time, right place. And looking back, I will tell you, God always has a plan.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, always has a plan.
I say for me, like, you know, rejection's a natural part of life. You're gonna receive it at some point, whether it's from, you know, a job that you've applied for and it's then not quite worked out, or anything really. But you know, I see it as an opportunity to grow, because then you can go away and go, well, why didn't I get that? Then you can then work on yourself. That's obviously what you did when you looked at that role for Microsoft. You went and looked at the job description and made sure you had, you know, enough I don't know, collateral to basically back up everything that basically in that job description. As I said, on this podcast, we've spoke so many times about how job descriptions are basically worded nowadays. They're not designed to basically cover off, you know, diversity, equality, inclusion, real life, real world problems, you know, becoming a parent, maternity leave, parental leave. I mean, and obviously, you know, that balance, because obviously you may have, you know, two people working in the same household. How does that work with one having to go to the office every so often, the other one being at home?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to be so inclusive when you do a job description now to make sure that when anyone looks at your job description, they want to apply for that role. So making sure, you know, you're putting in like some of the key things, like benefits as well. I mean, what's the benefits of joining that company? And that's something I know that in Fujitsu we've definitely done recently. We've basically started listing all the benefits that are basically available to anyone that applies for a particular role.
Yeah, so I would say, when I said that I looked at the job responsibility and I made sure, I will tell you it also depends upon what all the other things you bring in. It's not just that, right? And as you rightfully said, rejection literally is a redirection. You don't know sometimes, oh, I got rejected. There's a redirection to this. And at Microsoft, there's so, yes, we are, you know, I was just, someone posted that now it's also Times named it as one of the topmost company to be working in tech. And as a woman in tech, we still got work to do. Yes, we are good, but at the same time, we've got work to do. There are so many benefits from, I won't talk it more like as a woman in tech, but yes, all these companies, not just Microsoft, but all the companies, yes, they have a lot of amazing benefits, be it mental health, you can take care of your mental health, be it food, be it, you know, taking care of your own health, emotional, physical, and mental as well. We just went into, I don't know if you've heard about, Microsoft went into the DTO model, which is the discretionary time off. So there's not like I've been here at 10 years or 12 years, I'll get 5 weeks off a vacation. You as a newcomer, if you join Microsoft today, you can take time off as, whenever you and your manager agrees to, right? You can say, oh, I have to take care of a few things, I'm off you're off. There's nothing, you don't have to fill it anywhere. It's a pretty big thing as well, right? Like some people feel like it's going to take things off, but if you plan it right, there's so many benefits. Coming back to as women in tech, right? Like, yes, you know, all the big companies, they have good maternity, paternity benefits. And I think Microsoft is one of the leader in that as well. But at the same time, we have to keep doing more. I don't want to say it that we are all, and this is just my, like, I'm giving my opinions and not, you know, specific to Microsoft or anything, that we still have work to do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've had that conversation many times where, you know, we're at a point where, yes, women in tech has been discussed more, diversity, equality, inclusion has been spoken about a lot more. But just because we're at that point where it's at the forefront and it's in a lot of people's roadmaps to basically start doing something more about towards it, there's still that you don't stop there. You have to carry on, because if you don't carry on, it's going to get forgotten about again. And then you're going back to square one.
Yeah, and I will tell you, COVID hit women in tech much more than others. I was reading a research that how many women actually took time off to stay with the kids. They left their jobs because they were feeling that, you know, so much to do when the kids are home as well. And more than men, women actually took the bait to, you know, take care of that, as well as the tech trends. If you look at, you know, the economic downturn, which has happened, a lot of rifts and layoffs, which has happened. Has anyone started looking at the diversity and inclusion numbers, right? Are they going down or up with what has just happened? And so I, frankly, when we talk about this, it's not that the journey, it's a journey. It's not like today I'm going to go hire 10 people. And again, when I talk about diversity, I'm not even talking about gender. Yes, you have to have women, but at the same time, if you have 10 white women or you have 10 color women, you're not building diversity there. It needs to be the diversity of thought as well, Andrew, right? Like, it needs to be, you put 10 heartbeats, you've not got diversity then, right? Yes, when I talk about diversity, I'm making sure that, you know, it's the pretty famous quote, right? You can dance and you are being invited to the party and you can dance. But at the same time, I say you need to belong as well. You're invited to the party, you can dance, but it's okay to also say that I don't know how to dance, and being your authentic self as well. It's a hard one out here for us. You know, we got to raise our own hands for promotions. We got to raise, when we raise the hand, they say, oh, she's standing out too much. If we don't, then no one's looking at us. If we are asking for, you know, I'm going to go do this, oh, she's always asking more, right? So it's a very fine line. And oh my God, how many, as a keynote speaker and as a coach, how many times I've heard from my mentees real stories that someone told them, you got the job because you were a diversity check.
It's wrong, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's not a thing you want to hear.
And I'm like, have you looked at my, you know, when I recall this, because this has happened to me as well. Have you looked at what all I bring in? Have you looked at the amount of experiences I bring in? And not even from like anything else, from technical perspective, have you looked at how many products I've launched, billions in and brought billions of revenue to companies? Let's talk about that. There was once, just to give you a real example, there was once, Andrew, I was in an interview, in final interview. I talk about this. I think I've talked about it in another podcast as well. This person was called AA, like as appropriate, which is the last you know, highest level you can go to. And then they actually say if there is ever a yeses and a no, like he's kind of the deal breaker, he or she or they are the deal breaker, right? This person asked me on my face, have reached the final round and asked me, so do you, Harpreet, but this job requires travel, right? And you have kids, so how are you going to do it? And I was shaken. I was like, wow, I reached here and you're asking me about how will I manage this? Would you ever ask this to a man? Like if my husband would be in that chair, would you ask him how you're going to manage your family?
No.
So, you know, so things like this still happen, Andrew, and it needs people like you who's doing the podcast. It needs people like us as women and tech leaders to speak up and tell that this is wrong.
And right? That's why and, obviously it's important to have them details listed in job descriptions now, definitely.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, what do you do at that point? You say, well, I'm not going to be okay to say, well, I will manage it. Let's go to the next question.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I actually did not get that job because I was brutal and I gave feedback. If I would have got that job, I would still not have taken it because I did, my values did not align with that job.
Yeah.
I would even if I would have got that job and they would have said, amazing, she stood for herself and she was a good leader, blah, blah, blah. The values didn't match because in the end, I would be working for that leader.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, right? With any role that you take, you have to feel like you fit in. If you don't feel like you fit in and their values align to yours, then it's never going to work. You know, it's that culture fit as well. You know, making sure
it's the culture fit. It's the culture add in as well. Sometimes we get we have to fit in. We have to, and again, we have to blend in. Actually, no. It's what do you bring in? What's the culture add in you are bringing? And it's okay if it's going to add into our culture. That's even amazing. I just don't want also when I'm interviewing or when I am sitting in as an interviewee as well, I want to make sure that I can bring in my authentic self. I can be who I am. I'm able to give feedback openly as well. And feedback, I always say taking and giving is a gift, right? But at the same time, you have to be very careful. You're giving with permission. Your intent is for the growth of the person and not for the person. And it's targeted for mine and your success. And it's just helps for each one of us to bring the whole self then and make it a better place to work.
So from obviously all these experiences that you've had in the workplace, is that what kind of drove you to basically doing like public speaking and basically becoming a keynote speaker?
Oh my God, yes. So, you know, a few years back, it's been almost 5+ years I've been doing this. Public, you know, internal speaking, I have been doing for long internally as well. But formally, I took it close to 5 years. And the reason I had started doing, I had a health issue and I was literally in the hospital bed and I looked at my husband and I said, you know, what's my legacy? Like I was mentally also drained. You know, when you're going through physical health, you know, emotions always go down as well. And then I said, today, if something happens to me, you know, any big company, Andrew, not just that I'm at Microsoft, any big company, if today anything happens to us, they're going to open our job next day. They're going to send the counseling services and they're going to say, oh, Harpreet is no more, or Harpreet had this or not. We move on. Has happened to me so many times in my teams or extended teams. A person either moves on to a new company or has been like, you know, for personal reasons, I've had bereavement as well. We move on. We are a very, very small fish, even though I'm a vegetarian. We are a very, very small fish in a pretty big ocean, right? But how do we want to make sure we are remembered? And that's where I felt like I have a story to tell. I am very passionate about like women in tech, minorities, and it took me so long to be at the level I am because of the mistakes I made, because of the wrong mentor, or because I was not able to get the right mentorship. And I saw that big hole and I felt like I can be a force multiplier and do this. And I cannot tell you, Andrew, I love my 9 to 5, but I also love my 5 to 9, which is the keynote speaking, which is this, which is getting in front of thousands of people and telling what needs to be done and how it can be done, giving them the frameworks and connecting the right opportunities to the talent. And that gives me really, you know, good sound sleep. You bring a girl from India or anywhere, or a LGBTQ plus, or a mom who has been home for 10 plus years, want to get or pivot a career. From $0, if you're able to get someone $100K, $200K, I've had people, mentees who have been working literally labor jobs, have been able to get into tech and earning 5 figures now. And they say, Harpreet, thank you. That thank you, that life changing will stick. My family actually, I feel like, is growing because of that. And when I'm not kids, but you know, they become my friends. I get invited to their birthday parties, to their baby showers, to their marriages, to their,
you know. Well, you opened doors for them, so you know that they're obviously very appreciative of what you've done for them.
Yeah. I frankly feel like it's a relationship you build in. You go to LinkedIn today, you go to any professional platform today, and you search for a career coach, you search for a keynote speaker, you search for a diversity and inclusion advocate, you will find thousands. But are they really that? You know, you got to look for, do they have the right experiences?
Yeah.
Is this coach or is this speaker right for me? And that's where I talk about, how do you brand yourself, right? How am I branding myself that I'm the right career coach for you, or I'm the right speaker for you, versus, you know, yes, you can call yourself a career coach and you're like 21. Okay, right. Right. And so you can talk on any topics today. But it's the real stories, it's the personal stories, it's the 20 plus years of experiences which you and me bring in, which are unique to us.
That's what I say. It's one of the things about this podcast that I love the most is people's stories, because, again, I wouldn't know half of the people's stories without doing this podcast and where they've come from, what their motivations were for moving from one country to another. So basically, you know, going, I want to be a standout person. As I say, I've had a lot of, obviously, you know, well-known people from Microsoft on this podcast who have been very much the forefront of Ignite. So like Karuna Gatamu, for a big example. You know, she's a big, powerful woman that basically definitely makes herself heard when she's obviously doing her public speaking. So yeah, you have one life and you have to, like, you know, in your career, you have to live it, and you have to basically put yourself out there.
And it's okay. You know, Andrew, there will be people who will probably listen to this and they will say, no, I can just do my 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And I can barely do it. And that's okay. Each one of us has the superpower and the unique abilities. You have to find it in yourself. And that's the framework I talk about. You have to do some homework in yourself, that is this the right thing for me to do? People, like, you know, they will have a side hustle of art, or they will have their own shop, or they will have their some other businesses. Or if you don't want to have, like, this is my 9 to 5. I am mentally drained. I don't want to do anything more. Great. That's you. the last thing I want to state on this is the choice is also, the choice is always needs to be yours. No one should force you, including your coach. Your coach can guide you, but no one should force you how you have to live your life. No one forced me to start Why Blend In on top of the role I have. No one asked me to start writing. No one asked me to start speaking. No one asked me. It's what I want to. I want to have a fulfilling life. And that's what gives me fulfillment on top of taking care of two kids and a husband. And as a neurodiverse person myself, I feel like my mind is just so creative. And if I sit idle, my mental health starts going down.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, definitely. I know what we're talking about there, because I'm kind of similar. As soon as someone gives me something that I can put my teeth into, like this podcast, for example, that's it. I'm running away. It's all done. It's all set up. It's now, 2 years old and going from strength to strength. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I say neurodiversity, it can be a superpower for a lot of people.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It's so good that you're doing this as well.
So we are getting close to our usual time. So I'll throw out a couple of questions just to end off the episode. So in your career, have you ever faced a challenge where it really pushed you to the limits and you had to basically then work through it?
Oh my God. Oh my God. I didn't know, first of all, this was going to be an interview, but... Oh my God. So many of them. But I think the one which did get me really to a point of a breakdown was when I had a really toxic manager. And the person I was actually going through, an injury as well. And then a pretty big health one. And during that time only, I was on medical leave. And when I went back, during that time only, there was a reorg which happened. And the person literally said on my face, "Were you really sick or were you making it up?" That was one. Then the other thing, when I started back, after a few weeks, the person also said, I was the senior most in that team, and this was a new manager. The person also said to me on my face over a coffee chat, "Can you stop bringing your ideas to the team? The team is starting to like you more than me."
Wow.
And that literally broke me mentally. That literally broke me. I will tell you, so the thing which I want to, the how I maneuvered it was, obviously I talked to my skip and I said, I'm a senior person. I cannot take this. And it's okay to report the person as well. And I did that. I went that route as well. But at the same time, run away as soon as you can. These things are less worth to be, to give you the mental issues, because I will tell you, the more you stay in the situation, the lower your mental health and emotional health will go.
Yeah.
So take care of, be brave enough to call it out. Yes, people online and everywhere you will say, people will say the HR is always for the company. Yes, they are, but they will take care of you as well. And use the benefits as much as you can for your convenience as well, and take care of your mental health. Nothing is more important than your own health. Those people will move on and they will not remember, but the impact they have made on your health. But that, it'll teach you good things as well as bad things. The good thing it taught me was how I can stand up for myself as well, the values I have. Plus, it also, when I became a manager, it also told me that what not to do when you're a people manager and how you need to take care of your own team. You got to make sure they're successful as well, versus not just you.
So the other part of the question is, so what was your biggest career highlight?
My biggest highlight professionally have been, I've been leading or launching a lot of new next generation Windows Server products and just seeing them getting adopted. Like it's in billions. The revenues is in billions. Just to see that I'm able to build on the next generation of Azure and cloud platform and being in this industry, that has been the one of the biggest highlight from technical perspective. The biggest, from the personal side as well, it's the people. I cannot tell you, I have connections to people who I worked like 20 plus years back. 10 plus years. It's, I frankly feel like it's people will forget. And that's the Maya Angelou quote of people will literally forget what you worked on, which project you worked on exactly, but they will remember how you made them feel, right? It's the people, how you make them feel and the connections, the relationships that matter. And that's been the biggest highlight that for me, those connections matter. The person who hired me at Microsoft, 13 plus years back, is no longer at Microsoft. He retired as a senior director GM. I'm still in connection with him. I still give him a call out sometimes on LinkedIn that I was pregnant when you hired me. That is the kind of a manager you all need, folks.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So professionally, you know, all the big things which I'm doing for new product launches in Azure, and then personally as well as professionally also connected is the people, is the relationships which I've been able to build.
Awesome. And just to round it off, if you had a time machine and go back and speak to your younger self, what advice would you give her?
Oh my God. Stop trying to play to blend in. Stop trying to blend in. And I will also say to that young girl that you're beautiful. You are one of a kind. You're unique. You stand out either way. You don't have to be a chameleon. You don't. And you can do whatever you put your heart and mind to. And literally just be yourself. You can, and the other thing I will end with is you can never be okay with that. You can never be everyone's cup of tea.
Yes, definitely. There's always going to be someone you were upset in some way or some shape because, you know, everyone has their own mind, everyone has their own thoughts. So yeah, I definitely agree with that one.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I think, Andrew, and it's a joke, I do feel like I'll start taking it seriously. Start telling different stories to your critics, different stories of your to your critics. So when they get together, they start arguing about you.
that would be funny. Right. Well, that's the end of the show time. So I also thank you, Harpreet, for joining me this evening. It's quite late for me here in the UK. With what? Millions of IT problems we're having today, but you know, I've managed to work through them by myself, so it's all good. So yeah, thank you for joining me, and it's been really insightful.
Thank you so much. It's so amazing, and that is also the power of networking, right, and relationship that we both got together, and we are doing this as well. So you know, connections matter, relationships matter. Take care of those as well in your professional atmosphere and keep shining bright. So thank you, Andrew, for having me as well.
Cool. So everyone else who's listening to this, you'll hear me or John or Sophie on the next episode. So thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. Please make sure you hit that like, share and subscribe button to help us promote our message. You can also follow us on Twitter at MSFT Spotlight, and we're also on LinkedIn, the Microsoft Spotlight Podcast. And finally, we'd like to tell you a little bit about BitTitan and thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Remote migrations start here. Let MigrationWiz do the work for you. It's fast, secure, and 100% SaaS. which means you can migrate at any time and from anywhere. Migrate mailboxes, documents, public folders, personal archives, or even Microsoft Teams with just a few clicks. No special training needed, and no customer downtime. When the work matters, choose MigrationWiz.